voice and the guitar sound just absolutely fantastic. And oh, I'm just pleased to say that I've got a very handsome man on the other end of a phone line by the name of John Walker, and we welcome him, of course, to this evening's show. So hello, John.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited. I should say good evening to you, really, shouldn't I?
Well, no, it's morning.
It's morning to you.
Good evening to you.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, just so that people can get a picture in their head, you are the tall Walker brother, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're also the one that taught Carl Wilson to play guitar, and you play numerous instruments.
Yes. Well, not shall we say prolifically. Guitar is my first instrument, and you know, I play bass and keyboard a little bit and things like that.
Oh, you are so gentle with it. Now let's go back to that time when the Walker Brothers formed, and I believe that was 1964. Was that right?
It was probably the end of 63, beginning of 64.
Okay. And you were doing your thing, you know, in the States, kind of unknown, just singing for your supper, really, weren't you, the three of you?
Well, we had a residency in a club called Gazzari's, which was actually it was a restaurant sort of club and nightclub in Hollywood. It was really kind of cool. It was on Restaurant Road. It was this one street that was very famous for all these restaurants. And down at the very end of that street was Gazzari's, and that's where we played. And that's where Johnny Rivers started too, by the way.
All right. Okay. So what kind of stuff were you playing then?
Well, actually, we were like really a sort of pretty much hard rock and blues band at the time, because that's what people, you know, we played like sort of danceable type music and things like that, because that's what was the going market in those days. And if you wanted to work, that's what you had to play. So that's what we played.
Okay, and then you decided to come to England, much to the delight of lots of ladies over here back at that time. What made you make that move?
Well, see, that's all Gary's fault, because what happened was he came in and he'd been to England, and he played drums for PJ Proby. Uh-huh. And he came back, and we'd known Gary because he was in various bands around Hollywood, you know, for years before and all that kind of stuff. So everybody kind of knew everybody. But Gary came into Gazzari's one night and said, "You guys need to go to England." And we said, "Why do we need to do that?" And he said, "Because they're going to really like what you're playing, because that's what's going on." We went, "Oh, okay." And so basically that was his plan, and we sort of got it together, and off we went. But before we left, we recorded Love Her, mm-hmm. which had really nothing to do with what we were doing as the Walker Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that was the fellow that produced that. His name was Nick Vinay. And that just became the thing then. We came to England, and Phillips got a hold of that tape, and they said, "We want to put this out." And we said, "Well, that's nice, but, well, you know, it's like ballads in the middle of this beat revolution. This is not going to happen." They disagreed, and I guess they were right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that you had such a great look. I mean, you're all good-looking guys, weren't you? And still are.
You're my new best friend.
I know. They're smooth-talking Susie. That's what they call me, you know. Love Her. I tell you what, let's play Love Her, because that is actually on the album that's out at the moment, The Best of Scott Walker and the Walker Brothers, which is doing rather well. And before we hear that, just quickly, are you kind of like amazed that, you know, you've had this longevity of the Walker Brothers? Did you ever think back in the 60s that, you know, here we are, 2006, that you'd still be so popular?
Not really. You know, it's funny. I've been asked that question about why I thought that was, you know, people were still like interested in buying the records and listening to them. And the only thing I put it down to is everybody in the whole world basically is a hopeless romantic, and they like romantic music, and we made some nice records, and that's all I can think of. I can't think of anything else.
Okay, well, let's go to Love Her, and then we'll get a little bit more romantic, John, all right? Sue Marchand with you here, and John Walker from the Walker Brothers on the telephone, and lovely it is to talk to you as well. We just heard Love Her, which was something that sort of catapulted you into the public eye, didn't it, once you got to England. And how did you feel? I mean, were you really kind of like amazed that suddenly there's all these screaming women around you?
Yes. It was like what happened? We didn't do anything. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's we when Love Her came out, I mean, we didn't have work permits or anything. We weren't even really supposed to be in the country. But anyway, the record company got together with the home office and sorted all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And we started doing television shows and radio shows and things like that. And then the Kinks were touring at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we ended, they had an accident or something on the stage, and we ended up doing the last three nights of their tour.
Gosh.
And we kind of figured that was not going to be very good, because these are Kinks fans. They're not going to, they really, you know, why are we doing this? And it was kind of chaotic, I suppose. It was amazing. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was a couple of riots and a few things like that, and that was that.
That's right. So you got to the stage where you really couldn't go in England. You'd come over to have a look at us and see how it was, and had the success, you know, just completely out of the blue, and in a very short time as well, because at that time, you know, with the Stones around and the Beatles and everything, we were all just screaming mad. You must have thought us English people. I think the thing with the Walker Brothers songs is that you appeal kind of to any age group, and also not just to us ladies, but also to gentlemen as well, because your songs are saying the kind of love bit that they perhaps couldn't get the courage to say at that time.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that had a lot to do with the fact that we were very successful was there was, at that point in time, there was a lot of very, very great songwriters.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, Hal David and Burt Bacharach. I don't know how anybody could write lyrics like Make It Easy on Yourself. I mean, those are the greatest lyrics for a love song. I can't think of them. You know, I can't think of things better than that.
Mm.
And the thing is, we were fortunate enough to be able to record those, and we were also very fortunate that Phillips decided that it was fine. Yes, you can have, you know, your 38-piece orchestra that you need to do these with, and, you know, we were given a lot of things that we, you know, that allowed us to make what I think were really good records, and like I said, there were some beautiful songs out, you know, and they did. It's like you said, they said a lot of things that people couldn't or didn't know how to say, and I think a lot of those songs actually filled that gap.
Mm. What was it like, you know, the three of you together? Did you get on really well? Because I gather when, you know, the split came, there was quite a bit of pressure there, quite a bit of stress.
Well, the thing was, you know, Scott was, couldn't really, he just didn't like the live work and stuff. It was like, it to the point where the whole situation was not comfortable, because it was like, you're forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. And the trouble is, if you're going to make records and sell records and you have a fan following and things like that, part of the requirements are, you know, you do things like go play live.
Yeah.
And you do those things. And if you're not prepared to do that, then there's no point in continuing, because where is it going to end up?
Yeah.
And so we got to that point, and, you know, then we said, well, let's just call it a day and let it go at that. We did what we did, and it's kind of, now it's done. So it was an odd situation, but there wasn't really anything that you could, there wasn't any way to sort of fix the problem.
Mm.
So that kind of ended there.
You must have been quite disappointed, because, I mean, you used to, you know, play stuff, and so was Gary as well. How did you actually feel at that time?
Well, I was disappointed, because I really enjoy playing live.
Mm.
And the thing that's so odd about that is you don't realize how much you enjoy doing something until you don't do it for a while, and then you go back and do it, and you go, wait a minute.
Mm.
I did a tour in 2004, and it was one of those really gruelers, you know, like 58 shows or something. And I didn't take that kind of stuff on when I was in my 20s.
Mm.
And the funny part about it was, I enjoyed that more than I can remember enjoying something. You know, it was such a great, great time. And I thought, wow, I've been missing this all these years, you fool.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things, isn't it? You know, and I think that, and a lot of people say each time when they listen to some modern music, oh, these people won't be here like the artists of the 60s were. You know, the artists of the 60s are still there. They never really went away from anybody's record collection. And as you say, enjoying touring now. The best of the Scott Walker and the Walker Brothers is actually sort of in the charts, but you've got a box set coming out.
Yes, it seems like it's Walker year. I don't know what's going on. They just keep putting out things. Universal has put together a box set, and it's 5 CDs, and they've got everything we ever recorded. As collectively, and you know, as the Walker Brothers.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like the solo work that Scott did, or any of the solo work that I did, or any of the things Gary did with the Rain, but it has all the Walker Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
Like 115, or it was over 100 songs.
My goodness. Yeah, you wouldn't think of that, because you've all had your separate thing. I mean, Scott made several albums and that. But what about you yourself, John? Where are you at now?
Well, let me see. The last thing that just happened to me, he said, was Universal re-released the album I made with them in the 60s called If You Go Away.
Uh-huh.
That came out. In 2000, let's see, that was a re-release of early material. But in 2000, I made an album called You, which was, I got a lot of plays and things, but didn't actually come over and do a lot of work on that one.
Yeah.
But I've just finished a new CD, which is coming out at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this CD. I spent a lot of time and effort making this one come out the way I thought it should be. And so, please God, in touch wood, I'm not the only one who likes it.
So, and are these your own songs?
Yeah, there's 10 tracks on the CD, 7 are mine, and 3 are songs that I just felt really, really needed to be, 1 recorded and 2 on this album.
Yeah.
So, for the most part, it's just, you know, it's just a... What can I say? It's hard to describe. I just, it's big, you know, it's big and romantic. I can tell you that right off the bat. It's all, you know, so it's I can't get away from that. I guess I'm incurable or something.
So what's been the highlight of your career so far, John?
Oh, I could get really boring and say all of it, because it seems like just about the time that I'm done, something else happens.
Uh-huh.
You know, I sort of saw it maybe a few years ago. I thought, well, you know, I'm going to settle down and take life easy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I remember Dave D from Dave D, Dozybeaky, Making Titch, is a very good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, he said, you know what the trouble is, John? He said, once you've done the music and you've played, he said, you can't quit. And I said, yes, you can, man. And he said, no, you can't. And he's right, you can't.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you know, you just keep, you know, it's like I remember talking to Scott years and years and years ago, you know, and saying, my God, well, you know, when we get to 50, we got to forget it. Well, you know, we passed that.
Mm.
And we're both still making records. So it's kind of a strange thing.
Well, thank you very much for that, because a lot of the people that were buying your records in the 60s are still buying records today, you know?
They really are. I just think, you know, one of the things that I thought about when I made the my new CD, by the way, is going to be called Just For You.
Just For You?
And basically speaking, it's kind of an adult album. It's not a, you know, how can I put that? It's for adults, basically.
Okay, John, if I can tell you this something. I do a morning radio show on Northampton, and I had two youngsters who edit who just brought out a music magazine for the local area of Northampton. And I was saying, just chatting to her off air, I said, I'm so excited, I'm going to be talking to John Walker tonight. She went, the Walker Brothers, I love the Walker Brothers. And she was 23 years old.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Nice one, I would say.
A very pleasant surprise.
So, you see, you never know where that audience is, because, you know, people listen to their parents' record collections, etc., and it just kind of all gets in there. And young people, they have so much to absorb these days, not only all the history stuff at school and that, but all the music, you know, to be in touch with their parents.
Yeah, there certainly is a vast, there is a lot more going on now than there was. I mean, you know, with everything, because you got the net and all that kind of stuff. You never had any of that when I was a kid, you know. Like, if you had a tape recorder, that was avant-garde, you know.
Yeah. Talking of the web, do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's john-walker.org.
Okay. What about touring? Are you going to be doing any of that stuff and coming over to the UK?
It looks like the first of the year I'm going to be back in one of those nice big long ones.
Mm. And will that be like a 60s tour?
I think it will be.
All right. You'll be bringing the new album with you, of course.
Oh, yes.
All right. What is your favorite Walker Brothers song that you've recorded?
I've still got to say Make It Easy on Yourself. Every time I hear it, it knocks me out. So.
All right. Well, I was going to play The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore because we've got fantastic
weather. Favorite.
All right. Well, I'll put on Make It Easy on Yourself then if that's your favorite, because I think that's quite a few people's. No Regrets is mine because I just love the guitar solo in that. Do you? I'm not sure who actually played on it. Can you remember?
Alan Parker.
It was Alan Parker. All right.
One of the best.
Absolutely superb. I mean, it's just one of those ones, and the whole riff of it is just great. I'm surprised that it hasn't been sampled, you know, more often to be put into new music, because that din-din, it's just wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, long may you continue, and we look forward to hearing from you with your new album. But, of course, don't forget that box set album coming out, I believe it's July the 10th over here.
It is.
Mm. And very kindly, we've spoken to the people in control, and we do have a set to give away, so we'll be doing that. But we want to say thank you so much for sparing the time to talk to us.
My pleasure, Sue.
And keep us posted.
I will.
And isn't it great to have the best of Scott Walker and the Walker Brothers in the charts at the moment?
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, you take care.
You too.
And make it easy on yourself, will you?
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.